This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, December 8th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The head of the country's most valuable electric car company says the U.S. government should stay out of the electric car market.
Generally, you know, government should, I think, just try to get out of the way and not impede progress.
That's Tesla CEO Elon Musk at the Wall Street Journal CEO Council Summit this week. He spoke with our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern about the major federal spending bill working its way through Congress, what he's got against efforts to encourage EV adoption, and the really powerful rocket he's working on. We'll have highlights from that conversation after these headlines. A group of Rohingya refugees is suing Facebook parent Meta. They allege the social media platform perpetuated the genocide against the Muslim ethnic group in Myanmar. The class action suit claims Facebook spread anti-Rohingya hate speech, misinformation, and incited violence. The refugees are seeking $150 billion in damages. A spokesperson for Meta said the company was, quote, appalled by the violence and has taken steps to reduce harmful misinformation on its platform. Staying with Meta, its Instagram platform unveiled a host of new features aimed at making the service safer for teens. Among the changes are tools to nudge young users to new topics if they've dwelled on the same one for too long, and a take-a-break feature, which the company previously announced. Later today, the head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, will testify before a Senate panel about the impact of Instagram on children. A Wall Street Journal investigation showed that according to internal company research, the platform is harmful to many young users. The company disputes that characterization of the findings. China plans to launch its own digital currency, and central banks and financial regulators around the world are eagerly watching to see how that experiment works out. So far, 140 million people have downloaded the digital wallet software for the currency called the ECNY. But to get people to test it, China's central bank has literally been giving money away. So why aren't many Chinese citizens enthusiastic about the new digital currency? Our China-focused reporter James Arity explains.
This is actually a blessing and curse for China when it comes to digital currency and official digital currency. Many Chinese believe that they already have the next best thing when it comes to electronic money. They pay for everything with their phones using apps from Alipay and WeChat. These apps have completely transformed how money moves around the country. But this is really seen as already as good as it gets. And there isn't a lot of natural demand then to use the central bank's digital currency. It's not clear that the central bank is going to be able to drum up a lot of interest in the ECNY, but China's government has vast power to introduce products, whether people like it or not.
And the world's largest maker of smartphones, TVs, and semiconductors is reshuffling its leadership. Samsung is replacing its three current co-CEOs with two new ones and merging its consumer and mobile electronics units. The company plans to focus on its chip-making business as demand for semiconductors remains strong. All right, coming up, Elon Musk shares his thoughts on how the electric vehicle market should develop and what the future holds for his various companies. That's after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Elon Musk is best known as the head of the electric vehicle maker Tesla and the aerospace company SpaceX. He's also known for not being shy about sharing his opinions. He did just that this week when he sat down with the Wall Street Journal's senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern at the Journal's CEO Council Summit. Here are some highlights from their conversation, starting with Joanna.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm very excited to talk about a wide range of things. We'll start in Washington, D.C., where everyone is talking about the infrastructure plan and the bill. And I wanted to ask you, say tomorrow you get a phone call from Joe Biden and he says...
I think that's unlikely, but true.
Okay. You know, he just gives you a call and he says, you know, I haven't been talking a lot about Tesla lately, but, you know, what do you need from this bill? What are your needs? What do you answer him?
Well, I have to be to be totally frank, I don't know if we, at least no one at Tesla has actually brought up whether they care about this bill or not. I think if this bill happened or didn't happen, I don't know. We don't think about it at all, really.
Okay.
It might be better, honestly, it might be better if the bill doesn't pass. Because we've spent so much money, you know, it's like the federal budget deficit is insane. You know, it's like $3 trillion federal expenditures are $7 trillion. Federal revenue is $4 trillion. That's a $3 trillion difference in, if this was a company, it'd be a $3 trillion loss. So I don't know if we should be adding to that loss. That seems pretty crazy. Something's got to give. You can't just spend $3 trillion more than you earn every year and expect, don't expect something bad to happen. I think, you know, this is not good.
You said at this conference actually a year ago that you think government should really just be hands off when it comes to innovation. Though with this bill, there is a lot of support for EVs, and it could be the biggest change that we've seen throughout the country in terms of the infrastructure of EVs, and it helps Tesla. What do you think the role of government should be?
I think the role of government should be that of like a referee, but not a player on the field. Generally, you know, government should, I think, just try to get out of the way and not impede progress. I think there's a general problem, not just in the U.S., but in most countries where the rules and regulations keep increasing every year. Rules and regulations are immortal. They don't die. There's not a natural... Occasionally, you see some law with a sunset provision, but really, otherwise, the vast majority of rules and regulations live forever. And so if more rules and regulations are applied every year, and it just keeps growing and growing, eventually, it takes longer and longer, and it's harder to do things. And there's not really... an effective garbage collection system for removing rules and regulations, and so gradually this hardens the arteries of civilization, where you're able to do less and less over time. So I think government should be really trying hard to get rid of rules and regulations that perhaps had some merit at some point, but don't have merit currently. But there's very little effort in this direction. This is a big problem. But, you know, just going back to that infrastructure bill for a second, because sometimes the criticism of Tesla is like, hey, Tesla gets all these subsidies. But it's worth noting that for the vehicle purchase tax credit, the $7,500, Tesla stopped getting that like 2 years ago. We don't need the $7,500 tax credit. I would say, honestly, I would just can this whole bill. Don't pass it. That's my recommendation.
What about the support though for the charging network? I mean, there are parts of this bill.
And
no.
No, I mean, do we need support for gas stations? We don't. So there's no need for this for support for a charging network. I would delete it. Delete.
Okay. All right.
I'm literally saying get rid of all subsidies.
There are some other good things in this bill that some would argue. I mean, a lot of money earmarked for R&D. Would you want to put that towards something?
No.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on from the bill because I think we get what you're saying on it. All right, so I want to ask now a little bit farther out in the future, into 2022. I'm going to name some of the projects. I'm going to give you 60 seconds, and you tell me what your plan is in 2022 to move that project along and what we can expect from it.
Okay.
You going to do it? All right, here we go. So the first one is Cybertruck.
Cybertruck. Cybertruck's going to be an incredible product. I think it may be our best product ever, and I think it probably will be. It has a lot of new technology, so it's a hard car to make. And I think I've said before that, you know, we're aiming for volume production in 2023.
Okay, now we're on to Neuralink.
So Neuralink, we're obviously doing a lot of testing and just confirming that it's very safe and reliable and that the Neuralink device can be removed safely. People may have seen the demo that we published earlier this year, the video of a monkey playing the video game Pong telepathically using the Neuralink in its brain, it's completely wireless, charges inductively. But basically, the monkey looks completely normal and yet is playing a video game telepathically, which is, I think, quite profound. We hope to have this in our first humans, which will be people that have severe spinal cord injuries, like tetraplegics, quadriplegics, next year, pending FDA approval.
All right, so the last one is Starship.
Sure.
Because there's a lot happening in 2022 on Starship, right?
Yes. Man, Starship is a hard project. This is the biggest rocket ever made, and is intended to be fully and rapidly reusable. This is a profound, if we are successful with this, which I think we will be, but I don't know if we'll be there in 2022, I hope so. This is a profound revolution in access to orbit. There has never been a fully reusable orbital launch vehicle. This is the holy grail of space technology. It is so preposterously difficult that there are times where I wonder whether we can actually do this. So we've got to get rockets to the point where we simply refuel the rocket and we don't throw it away. And with Falcon 9, we've managed to make the booster reusable and the fairing nose cone reusable, but not the upper stage. So we've made I think the most progress in reusability that has ever been done. But with Starship, we're hoping to make the whole thing reusable. This is profound. Like I said, it is the difference between humanity being a single planet species and a multi-planet species. It's really that big of a deal.
Well, Elon, thank you so much for being here tonight, and thank you everybody. And I hope to see you next year.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can watch the full interview between Joanna and Elon Musk and find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.